Michael, did you have a comment?
Another thing DK said about evil is the good that should have been left behind.
Yeah, that's good.
And when I think in terms of belief systems and one's like spiritual progression, a certain belief system might move you forward, but if you grow to a point where you need to move past that and it keeps you stuck, then that becomes wrong.
Right. That's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up.
Because another thing he pointed out was the way we define good and evil changes as time moves forward. And he says one of the works of the hierarchy is to try to move, he says, like we have good here and evil here. And one of the works of the spiritual hierarchy is to try to move good and evil up to a higher plane. So what is was good here now becomes the evil, and we have a new good replacing the old good. Okay, like it used to be good to have a king. That used to be considered the good. It was a lot better than living in the jungle or living in a very scattered way, in a disorganized way. Rome was considered very good in its day because it established security for the people. It had negative effects, but overall it was considered very good. And a lot of people joined the Roman Empire of their own free will because it offered a lot of security. And even though they had an emperor that was a dictator, he kept the peace. And so Rome had a lot of its growth not only through conquest, but through voluntary association. And it was considered the good. But then Hitler, he came and wanted to reestablish the Roman Empire. But because we had moved ahead in our progression, this was now the bad. What was the good now becomes the evil. And why? Because we have a higher consciousness that can see a greater good. And when a greater good is discovered, that which used to be good becomes obsolete and is eventually replaced by the greater good, but not without a lot of struggle, because the greater good is always seen as disruptive, and it disrupts the power structure. And so the powers that be fight against a greater good that is conceived. And so we have the progress of humanity goes from tribal living to kingdom living to democracy, and eventually the next one will be a cooperative society through free will of the people not being violated. And when this society begins to be built, which it hasn't yet, communism has an ideal of a cooperative society, but they try to implement it by force. So taking a good and implementing it by force becomes an evil. But if people get together of their own free will and produce a cooperative society, then that can become very efficient and very good. But things have to be done through free will. So it's interesting when you figure that the good and evil, all these words have to be defined. We have to define them so they make sense. And in defining them, we need to look at the principle behind them. And the principle behind good is a force that moves us ahead in our spiritual evolution. And evil is that which tries to take us backward. And even as far as physical evolution goes, anything that moves us forward to where life forms have greater powers would be a good thing. That which takes us backward so we... future evolution has lesser strength and lesser powers, and lesser powers to preserve their life would be evil by that classification. Okay, any questions on that subject?
You don't hear about upgrading evil anywhere else.
Yeah.
DK literally says the job of the Brotherhood of Light is to upgrade evil.
Right, upgrade both good and evil. Yeah, so So the new evil will be what the old good was eventually. Yeah, slavery used to be good. Back in Rome, I mean, you had to have slavery or else, man, we couldn't have the society we have, is what they all said. And that's what they said in the Old South during the days of slavery. We got to have these slaves or we can't have our way of life and we can't progress. We can't have our freedom without these slaves. So Abraham Lincoln said, well, you know, they have a strange idea what freedom is down there.
So all beliefs are ultimately a product of interpretation, whether however is taken. So, and the lower that the interpretation is what colors the belief that it is right or wrong. And then we find out that as we go through progression, we realize that as we attain higher levels of consciousness or awareness, we realize that that lower viewpoint really was not so bad. So I guess taking that forward, we say from the highest point of view, then everything should be looked upon as acceptable. Because from the lower point of view, everything is subject to interpretation, negative and positive. But from the highest point of view, everything should be acceptable.
In a way, there's always judgments to be made, but from, well, let's take the creation of the whole universe, whole situation we're in. We knew that this universe was going to have good and evil in it, yet we embraced it.
Right.
Okay, so we needed the opposition in order to learn anything. Without the opposition, surely, you know, they teach that in between the dualities is a point of peace, and no one can really explain what that is. We have to embrace the dualities. And there's always a duality. They say there's a place where there is no dualities, but it's really an imaginary place, because even before the Big Bang, so to speak, when there was just supposedly nothing, well, there was something. And there was the possibility of existence and against the great Pralaya. And DK says another thing that's always stuck in my mind. And he says, in the great Pralaya, it is not a place where there is not where there is nothing. It's a place where what exists there is esoteric. So in other words, even in the great rest, in between the universes, when we go to the great rest, there will be something. And as long as there is something, there's a duality. And as long as there's a duality in existence, there will be creation. There will be creation that will come and go. Speaking of good and evil, in the book of Genesis, it says, behold, the man is to become as one of us to know good and evil. That's a very interesting subject when you think about it. It says the key to becoming like God, or like the gods, as it literally reads in the Hebrew, the way to become like the gods is to know good and evil. And what's really interesting about this is the word know. When you look at the wording about procreation, it says Adam knew Eve and begat Seth. So the description of sex, the word for sex, is knowing. The same word when it talks about knowing good and evil. The same word is when it says, and this is eternal life, that you shall know God.
So you have sex with God, you win.
Okay. So the word for having sex is used in knowing God, knowing good and evil, and knowing your spouse sexually. All these words are intertwined and mean the same thing. So that's a really fascinating thing to think of. How is sex and knowing God and knowing good and evil related? Okay. So what happens when you have sex? You blend your energies and the energies intertwine and you have an experience that you cannot have alone. You have an experience that is more than just something of your own existence. It is more than just you going on there. And it is an experience that is beyond yourself. And when you know God, the same thing happens. You have an interplay with another life that produces an experience greater than you can have just by your own self. And when you know good and evil, it's the same thing. You will have a greater experience than you can have by not knowing good and evil. Knowing good and evil, understanding the duality, and understanding the interplay of the positive and negative, the male, the female, coming together. Understanding that is a key to understanding the powers of godliness within you. So that's an interesting thing to think about. Okay, we're going to take a short break, and then we'll come back and finish.